You could stand for the sermon if you wanted to, but you might rather sit. Good evening. I'm happy to see you tonight. Thank you for your presence here. Lots of familiar faces. I see also some guests that are here with us. We're thankful that you're here tonight. Who is God really? Can we even know? Last week, I tried my best to show you from Scripture that you absolutely can know. That God has made Himself knowable to you and me. But we must tread lightly. There's a dangerous tendency in our efforts to know God. I read a really, really fascinating article by Matthew Barrett, who's a professor of theology, who's come out with a book recently about God. And in that article, which he summarizes a portion of his book, he notes the fact that many of us can have the best of motives trying to know God. But if we're not careful in our efforts to understand Him as He's revealed Himself in Scripture, if we don't tread carefully, we can end up domesticating God. By that, he means that instead of getting a clear glimpse of who God reveals Himself to be in the Bible, we may end up trying to make God in our image, after our likeness, creating a vision, an image of God in our minds that is far too overly simplistic, far too contained and domesticated. If we're not careful, we can tend to cast God into being almost like a superhero. That God is like us, it's just that He's greater than us in every way. God is bigger than us. God is a better version of who we are. And that is a tremendous, tremendous error. Make no mistake, God is not like us. He is altogether different. He is in a class of His own. He has no rivals and no one with whom He might be compared. The medieval theologian Anselm put it this way: God, by definition, is something greater than the greatest thing you can think of. So imagine the greatest thing you could possibly conceive of. You got it? Take one step more, that's God. God's essence is beyond limitation. He is immeasurable. He is unfathomable. And He is not obligated to be the object of our dissection. There's no way really to put God into a neat category. He is wholly other. So listen to the testimony of Scripture. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Psalm 33, verse 6. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and the stars were born. Mark 10, verse 27. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with Him. Ephesians 1, 19 through 21. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Amos 4, verse 13. For the Lord is the one who shaped the mountains, stirs up the winds, reveals His thoughts to mankind. He turns the light of dawn into darkness and treads on the heights of the earth. The Lord God of heaven's armies is His name. Hebrews 1, verse 3. The sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. When He had cleansed us from our sins, He sat down in a place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. And finally, Romans 4, 20 and 21. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this way, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever He promises. In his article, Matthew Barnett says this: the minute that you think you've comprehended all of God, think again, for it's not God you're comprehending. God cannot be contained. He cannot be domesticated. He cannot be manipulated. So if God is so far beyond our comprehension, then what does that say about our attempts to know Him? I think it says at least three things. First, we should stop pretending that we can conquer His essence. If God is who He must be, who He reveals Himself to be, utterly powerful beyond all imagination, then we have to embrace the mystery of God. We cannot create theological formulas that will dissect Him. You see, in Western culture today, we are so influenced by the Enlightenment and by scientific methodology and by rationalism that we think we have to figure everything out. And we're not satisfied to believe in something unless we think we've got it pretty well nailed down. But you're not going to nail down God. And so it's high time for Christians, I think, in America today to return back to the same kind of view that Christians have had for over two millennia. And that is being okay with the mysterious nature of God. And stop pretending that we can figure Him all out or conquer His essence. Secondly, we should meditate upon and relish and be satisfied with what God has revealed Himself to us to be. The fact that God has made Himself known to me and you is a mind-boggling and tremendous gift. The fact that God would even give us even a glimpse into who He is. And we can only know God because He's stooped down and He's revealed Himself to us. So we should relish and meditate and be satisfied with what He's revealed. Thirdly, we need to realize that any talk of God that we give has to always be by analogy. God is spirit, He's not flesh and blood. And so when we try to understand God, the only way we can even begin to get a glimpse is through the human-like characteristics that the Bible ascribes to Him, like God having hands, eyes, feet, a mouth, that He grieves, that He repents, all of that, when in fact, really, strictly speaking, He doesn't have those attributes. He's not like us. Because the only way we can even fathom Him is by analogy. And so to get a small glimpse of understanding God, we have to be dependent upon these analogies. When I was younger, a teacher impressed upon me an important principle for contemplating God. Just because we can't know everything about God doesn't mean we can't know some things. So God is mysterious, and yet at the same time, He has made Himself known, and we should relish those things. So as we consider the ability and the power of God, we have to confess He is ultimately incomprehensible to you and me, far beyond our ability to fully conceive. But thankfully, God has given us a glimpse of Himself, and it's a gift. He's cracked the door that we might peek into His glory, and we should bask in the warmth of that light and be satisfied. So tonight, as you see God, will you come to Him and give your life to Him? If we can help you in any way in this fashion, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.